Well, first of all, it was quite a run. It didn't end the way anybody wanted it to end. But congratulations to you and your entire crew for what was an extraordinary season.
I appreciate it, Bob. Thank you. You're right. Didn't end like how we all wanted to. But I think we grew up a little bit, and to go to the last seconds of a game seven in a playoff series against, I think, the Brooklyn Nets. You know, like I think we grew up a little bit, and we'll see how we can sustain as we go forward.
A bunch of issues to address here in the next few minutes, but I want to take you back, because we are now at a point where I think you can honestly answer this question.
Mm-hmm.
When you made the Rudy Gay trade, The consensus in the marketplace, certainly in the media, was, well, on one hand, there was that tank thing, but let's put that aside for a second. Mm-hmm. Did you believe that with that trade, you made your team better right away?
I think we believed that we enhanced our bench, but we didn't believe that we didn't know that the chemistry would come together. So the honest truth, Bob, is we prepared for it both ways. You know, like, and when we heard the Kyle Lowry rumors, that was us preparing for it, and Kyle knew. We told him we were preparing for it, where, you know, we didn't want to be stuck in what people say the 7-Eleven. We didn't want to be stuck in that spot there where you're not getting better, you're winning some games and not winning some, and just you're just hanging around. There's no progress. Or, you know, like, we could start growing as a team. Our young guys are getting the opportunity, and we see where we and the team continues to grow. And we were extremely lucky that we had that chemistry, and we started to grow as a team. So, honestly, did I know it will be like that, Bob? We're not geniuses here. I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and tell you, hey, I knew it was going to be like that. But I will tell you this: we prepared for it both ways, and we did our homework on the players that we got.
I know you didn't know what was going to happen. Obviously, you didn't have a crystal ball. But, you know, in your heart and your gut, and again, with the Lowry thing potentially out there, and maybe starting to look a little more like a teardown. But what did you think was going to happen, Masai? If someone had to hook you up to a polygraph that day and say, what do you think is going to happen to your team now that you've made the Gay deal? What would you have said?
I thought that Kyle Lowry could emerge. You know, like, I honestly thought that. I thought that Rudy and DeMar could never, they couldn't play together. And so there was a chance that one of them could work. We took the chance on keeping DeMar. And I really thought that Jonas could grow as a player. And Terrence, we were, you know, like, we wanted to give him a platform. So if we took Kyle Lowry out, I think our team goes down, you know, like, and one of those teams that, you know, like, starts to rebuild right from the ground, you know, like, mm-hmm. But I think once we decided that we were going to go forward with Kyle Lowry, you know, like, I think we knew that, I thought that these players, the players are what we thought they could be. DeMar, could he emerge and become a better passer? Could he be a better defender? You know, like, all those things you hope, you know, like, and he has the talent too, and we're lucky that it did. There's an element of luck to it, Bob, and that's the truth.
Was there a moment, Masai, after that deal, when things started to click, where you saw and said, boy, this is starting to fall into place? The good part of this is falling into place. This is a pretty good competitive team. Do you remember anything during that stretch where you had that kind of moment?
Yes, I do remember. I was in Europe, and we started going scouting, and we started winning some games, and I was with Jeff Wildman. I was like, what the hell is going on here? and then, you know, came back, and then we go on a road trip. I think we go beat Chicago, come back, beat Indiana in the new year. You know, like, it just continued. We started beating good teams, you know, like, and but playing well, you know, like, and competing, you know, like, and and started winning games, you know, like consistently, you know, and I think from there on, you know, like we looked at ourselves and said, you know, here is chemistry that you just don't find in anywhere, and here are guys competing, playing for something, you know, like can we make the best out of this situation and see if we grow from here. And we were lucky that it came together and we started to grow together.
Which of the Sacramento four surprised you the most once he got here?
Out of the four, it's funny, I know who Vasquez is because I've known him from when he was 17. So he wasn't a surprise. He was what we thought he was. We kind of figured that Patterson would be, you know, like emerge as, you know, like a pretty good player in the NBA. He had a lot of value. A lot of teams were calling. I think he was a good surprise for us in terms of how it fit. We knew Salmons would give us what he had given. And then Chuck Hayes, he's a player he is, you know, like, and he was a surprise in terms of the locker room, you know, like we had done our homework on him, but he had an impact in our locker room. Him and Salmons did. When they spoke, guys listened.
Now, we were talking yesterday, and it's obviously still people still kind of caught up in the emotion of this playoff series, but about the need to kind of look, you fall in love with these guys and you fall in love with the team. Obviously fans fell in love with this team. And I would think, you know, from your position, it's hard not to feel a tremendous amount of emotion and loyalty and happiness for this team. But you have to, now you're at a stage where you have to be kind of dispassionate, say, look at, okay, here's our roster. These guys, here are the assets, and we have to make some moves. You know, we have to continue down that path to a championship. In the clear, cold light of day, where are you in that, you know, moving along that curve towards, in theory, a championship, Masai? Where is this team now compared to where it was?
Well, you know, we just finished a couple of days ago, so we're evaluating, you know, like it's at that period where we have our core group that we, you know, we feel like we have to give a chance. And there are some places that we need to get better. How do you get better at that places, those places, you know? Many options are going to be there, and then some places are going to be limited with options. So when I say that, I mean like a draft pick, or is it a mid-level, or is it trading a first-round pick to get a better player, or is it a younger player, or a veteran player? We have to. This is the time where we're going to evaluate leading up to the draft and leading up to free agency. I don't think it's a question that where I can actually pinpoint now and say, hey, you know, like that's the spot, or those are the people that we need to change. But our core group remain, you know, like very essential for us as we go out, as we move along to sustain. And I think we'll figure it out. But it's evaluating time now, preparing for the draft and preparing for free agency.
With Masai Ujiri, you've been asked what your number one priority is this offseason. And I don't want to ask that question because that question may or not have already been answered with respect to Kyle Lowry. And even if it is, you can't answer it. What's your number one need? And it follows on what Steven said, too, because this is a team that it appears you have your starting five. It doesn't appear as though you are anxious to find somebody better at any particular place right now. You wouldn't have said that at the start of the season, I don't think, but the way things unfolded. So what's your number one need?
I think when you look at it, do we need a big wing player at some point? Yes, we do. You know, like how do you get that player? I think we'll figure it out. But we're not going to make any quick fix, desperate type situation. Do we need a rim protector, shot blocker type guy? Yes. When do we get that player? I think we'll figure it out. Sometimes do you need like a scoring on the block? I think Jonas will figure that out a little bit, and then, you know, like maybe we can figure out a player too. It'll take time. It'll take finding that player and also maybe even the development route. So I think there are many ways to look at it. Honestly, Bob, there's no, it's a time now for us to really sit down, assess the team from when we got it some of maybe the mistakes we made, some of the things that we can correct, and some of the things where our players can get better, developing our players in the summer, and then I think we go from there. But what I've told you, the big wing, maybe a rim protector, those type of things, maybe somebody that can score inside a little bit, those are the things that we're going to look at to make our team better.
A lot has been said about the chemistry of this ball club. I'm thinking some of it by you and some of it by your coach and a lot of it by your players. Is there any danger in your mind of messing with that chemistry as you try and make this team better?
No, because with the good teams, what happens is with the good teams, and that's one of the reasons, you know, like we signed Coach Casey right away, you set a tone, guys, and then you have your culture, and you try to win, you try to build your brand, you try to really set a tone to how you want the organization to be run. You have your identity of your team and how your locker room is. And then, you know what, as you continue to build and grow, you sustain your core. And people that you bring in, you know, like it's not everybody, honestly, Bob, it's not everybody that you're going to bring that is going to be, you know, like a 100% A student and the greatest character person, blah, blah, blah. We all have our flaws and we all have our ways about us, different characters. And I think there is something said to about, you know, like different characters and brain types and people. We study all that stuff in psychology that you have to find a way to make it mesh, but you have to build that culture. So when guys come in, they have to adjust. That's what the good teams do. That's what the good organizations do. Have we won like those teams to establish that? No. But do we owe it to ourselves as leaders to establish that culture and establish that tone? I think we can do it in myself, in Dwayne, in the kind of leadership we bring in the players, seriousness, DeMar, Kyle, Amir Johnson. We can set that tone.
It's been more than a decade since Vince and his gang were here, and there was a sense that players actually wanted to come and play for the Toronto Raptors. It's been a while. In your meanderings through the NBA, in a general sense, do you feel like that there's a corner has been turned once again, that you now have an opportunity to talk to specifically free agents about coming to Toronto and getting a warmer reception than you might have gotten even a year ago?
I think the fans have helped us. I think the players have helped us. I think our coach has helped us. I think Tim Leiwicki has helped us with what he has, the bar he's tried to raise as a whole. We believe in ourselves. Honestly, when I made that statement, you know, like with the Brooklyn thing with the fans, you know, like I didn't even have Brooklyn in my mind. I didn't even think about their players or their coaches. All I was trying to do was get us to believe in ourselves and stand up for ourselves, because we have to. We need to. We must believe that we can do it. And I honestly think people will see it. You know, like people saw that atmosphere. People saw us playing as hard as we could. People saw us competing. People see a little bit of talent there. People saw our coach get better. People saw that. I wish we could hold the right to keep in putting that big screen out. I guarantee you there's going to be NBA teams trying to put screens outside the arena to figure if they can, you know, like imitate what we did. And those fans outside. But I don't think anybody can do it, because it happened naturally with us. And when things like that happen naturally, we have to take advantage of it. And we feel it. We feel the fans. We feel the support. And we have to go do our jobs now to sustain and build. But we're not going to make a quick fix. And so I think those players outside see it, you know, like those Brooklyn players, they saw it, you know, like people that watch, they saw it. And then I believe they see the culture. They see the kind of players we have. They see our coach. I think at the end of the day, they'll look at this place and say, you know what? they are trying to do something.
Well, it was an extraordinary run. And while there was certainly some level of disappointment on the part of the fans, it was tempered by a pride in what they'd watched and what your organization was able to accomplish this year. There wasn't a big hangover, I don't think, or a mope fest for a long period of time. Disappointment, sure. But at the same time, optimism about the future. And you've obviously been a significant part in creating that level of optimism. Again, congratulations. And I know we'll talk over the course of the summer, but have a good off season.
I do appreciate you guys. You guys have been awesome, and the support has been awesome, Bob and Bruce. We really do appreciate it. I think we have the best media market and the best coverage, and that helps us. That helps us build who we are. So honestly, we appreciate it. I know sometimes you have to say things, some your opinions, you know, like, and that helps us in some ways. So we really appreciate it.
Thanks, Masai, as always, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.